we should start a podcast. Yeah, we've all said it. But when it comes time to make it a reality, we get stuck. Well, here's some good news. With Spreaker, all you need to start a podcast is a microphone and a good idea. Spreaker handles the recording, management, distribution, and monetization of your podcast, allowing you to focus on making a podcast. Whether you're discussing the latest moves in the tech sector or just your dating life, Spreaker gives you tools to make your podcast a hit and professional insights about who is listening and where. And as your podcast dream grows, Spreaker only becomes more useful, letting you upload and schedule multiple episodes at the same time, push to multiple platforms, and customize RSS feeds. But what about making money? With Spreaker, monetization is as easy as checking a few boxes. So next time someone says to you, "We should start a podcast," say yes and let Spreaker handle the rest. Learn more and get 30% off at Spreaker.com/get started. That's Spreaker.com/get started.
And welcome. Welcome to a special edition of Overwatch, the show on Firefall Talk Radio where you get a unique viewpoint on current events, politics, finance, and the like. Prophecy, end times, religion, and the paranormal airing only on Firefall Talk Radio. I'm Richard Gunn. This, like I said, is a special edition. And I wanted to do this tonight, to do something special because of what's going on in the world. Hold on, I'm trying to find a file that I did not upload. And when I first started doing the shows here on Firefall Talk Radio and Overwatch, which was at the beginning of the year, it was because I wanted to do something different, something special. I wanted to offer a different viewpoint instead of being the typical talking head podcast. But due to time conflicts, technical issues, and just generally being burned out, I just kind of set everything aside. And here we are. I won't be back on a regular basis, but I will be doing this as I feel led to do at any time I feel led to do it. So you just never know when you're going to see me on here. So you really need to pay attention. You really need to be ready. And hopefully you subscribe to what we do. If you do, then you know that I'm on the air. If not, you'll know that it's been archived. So I would suggest that you subscribe so that you know when a special edition like this has come on. When I was doing Overwatch, I have to be honest with you, I believe they were the best shows we've ever done on Firefall Talk Radio. Well-researched, informative, thought-provoking, and at times controversial. I didn't just come on here and, you know, stumble in from a family picnic or watching football or whatever and winged it. No, I spend a lot of time doing the research, gathering the notes, tying it all together, making sure that it fits together to bring to you the viewpoint I'm trying to get across. And that's what I've done today. I've always believed in telling the truth, no matter what, even if your voice shakes doing it. But that also means you can't be foolish. We have to be as wise as serpent, meek as doves, which means in the midst of a battle, sometimes a controlled, planned retreat to a safe haven is warranted. Well, what's going on in the world right now has inspired me to come out of my hole, if you will, to to talk to you tonight. Now as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, "Tell us when these things will be, and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age." And Yeshua answered and said to them, "Take heed that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Messiah,' and will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of the sorrows. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations. And then the end will come." We are living in those moments right now. I sincerely believe that every aspect of Matthew 24, Luke 21, and I think Mark 13 is happening all at once. And we need to pay attention. And that word lawlessness in that section of Scripture isn't human lawlessness. It's lawlessness against God. It's sin. It's not obeying His law. We're seeing every aspect of Matthew 24, every aspect of the Olivet Discourse, every aspect of the answer the Lord gave to the signs of His return. Well, here we are in the middle of it all. If you're not watching the news, not paying attention on the internet or social media, something's happening out in California. Parts of California are on fire. But this is nothing new. As early as August 2018, California was in the middle of its worst fire season ever. 820,000 acres burned across the state in the midst of three of the largest fires California had seen since 2000. Thousands of homes burned. 8 deaths were recorded. Fires in California account for about 10%. Those fires accounted for 10% of all acres burned in the U.S. since 2000. Let me say that again. California wildfires since 2000 have accounted for 10% of all the acres burned. That's according to the National Interagency Fire Center. Only Alaska, which is 4 times larger than California, has seen more acres burned during that period of time. Well, now it's happened again. The campfire burning near Chico, California, has become the single most destructive and third deadliest fire, burning more than 109,000 acres since early Thursday morning. At least 25 people are dead. Over 6,000 structures are lost, and 57,000 more are in danger. Paradise, California, home to 26,000 residents, is entirely gone. According to the California Department of Forestry and Fire Protection, spokesman Scott McLean told the Reuters news agency, "The town is devastated. Everything is destroyed. There's nothing much left standing." Well, further south, other fires have ignited on Thursday near Los Angeles. The Woolsey Fire, the one you're seeing on the news the most, has already displaced more than 300,000 people that have been evacuated. Some are trickling back into their homes or what's left of them. The Woolsey Fire has burned 80 3,200 acres so far, and it's only 5% contained. Two bodies were found in the path of that fire, though the cause of death is not yet official. Firefighters are gaining ground around the Hill Fire, which has ignited 4,500 acres. And that blaze is 65% contained. But remember, when the Santa Ana winds picked up, which they did today, that could change in the blink of an eye. A lot of homes are lost. Well-known people, regular everyday people. One of the things that was lost is something I knew about, because being in the film business, you've always thought about shooting a film there or going there. It was actually a tourist attraction and did not know it. I would have gone one of the many times that I've been out there. Famous Western movie sets in the Santa Monica Mountains in Agora's Paramount Ranch are lost forever. According to the Santa Monica Mountains verified account, I'm sorry, I'm not sure what's going on here. Actually, I thought I was going to do this about an hour later, but I decided to jump to it. Here we go. Trying it again. From their Twitter account, Santa Monica Mountains say, "We're sorry to share the news that the hashtag Woolsey Fire has burned Western Town at the Paramount Ranch in Agora." Said, "We do not have details of photos, but it is our understanding that the structures have been burned. This area is an active part of the incident. We cannot access it. Well, news people have gotten in there, and I've seen the footage. Except for two buildings, it's all gone. It's been the site of hundreds of productions over the last 90 years. You have probably seen something shot there. The current HBO show Westworld, Dr. Quinn, Medicine Woman, Herbie the Love Bug, HBO's Carnival, all were shot there. It dates back to 1927 when Paramount Pictures first bought the 2,700 acres in Agora Hills, California to shoot movies. If you've ever seen an old Western town, it's probably there. But it wasn't just used for Westerns. It was used for jungle locations, even colonial New England. Paramount Ranch was a public park. Anyone could just walk around and explore, provided that a movie or TV show wasn't shooting. Plenty of people did, given its close proximity to Los Angeles. Well, the Associated Press posted some photos, and so did a local NBC affiliate. And the only two buildings left standing is the fake church, a white building, and the fake train station. It's all gone. And as I said, the Santa Ana winds are expected to pick back up today. Many areas of Los Angeles and Ventura counties are under red flag warnings, with winds coming out of the northeast at 40 to 50 miles an hour in the coast and the valleys, 50 to 60 miles an hour in the mountains, including the Santa Monica Mountains where we were just talking about. Low humidity and existing fires make it an extreme danger of being reignited. And according to a post I saw this afternoon, the fires have been reignited. I don't know how bad. I don't know if they have picked back up or they're going to reinstitute the evacuation warnings. We'll have to wait and see. This is the second round of dangerous fires in California. The Thomas Fire was only extinguished in January. The gargantuan Mendocino Complex Fire that burned 459,000 acres in July, and in August it was the deadly car fire, which started in Shasta County. The Woolsey Fire and the Camp Fire that started it all is consuming 80 acres a minute. There are dangers from smoke inhalation as well. Eyewitness accounts talk about trying to get out of Paradise, California, trying to escape the flames. Cars being backed up, roads being clogged, watching buildings burn, fires taking down the trees in all of the surrounding areas. Many of the casualties that were noted were in the cars. Apparently, 9 people got stuck. Nobody knows if they stopped or why they stopped, but their charred remains were found inside the car. One eyewitness talked about jumping out of the car and into a creek bed where there was cover and the flames going by. You can see I posted on Facebook various videos and things. You can see them online. It is a preview of the apocalypse, folks. That was my first thought. As I saw the fire from the cities, I saw the people escaping. I saw the amount of destruction. And all I could think of was that this is a preview of the apocalypse. It's been reported that the utility pole started the fire. There was some kind of a outage or surge or whatever at 6:33 a.m. on Thursday morning, and they're saying that is what sparked the blaze. But also, there have been various arguments going around, and I've read a couple of different reports, especially about the fires in August. And many people are attributing this to the lack of forest management. They're not controlling the brush. They're not keeping the brush away from the transformers and the power lines. California blames it on the federal government. President Trump and what some believe to be ill-conceived tweets have blamed California state government. Whoever's to blame, maybe they both should shoulder the blame. Something must be done. And as far as this particular fire is concerned, I don't think it's over. My gut feeling is even if they contain these two, which they are far from doing, it's going to do more damage. We're going to see more horror stories. Now, what's going on? I've seen some posts on social media, especially with some people that have what appears to be a religious spirit, talking about God's judgment. This is God's judgment on California. They did this, they did that. Well, I personally know of a couple of believers that have lost everything. I know people that have a covenant relationship with him that have kept their lives and the lives of their pets, but lost all their earthly possessions. What if it's not God's judgment? Let me discuss this with you for a minute. What if this is not God? I'm not saying he's not allowing it, but what if it's not him? John 10:10 talks about the thief who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Almost every commentary I read tells me who that thief is, and it's not God. No, it's HaSatan, it's Satan. What if he's behind this? And I know some of you just raised your eyebrows going, huh? Yeah, what if Satan and the fallen and their demonic offspring are the ones that are behind this? And I'll explain why, but let me ask a question for anyone listening who has immediately thrown the God judgment card down. What about the compassion card? What about we wait for the Lord to confirm whether it's him or not? And the first thing we show is compassion and not condemnation. No, I don't think it's him at all. I don't think it's God at all. I don't think the vengeful God of the Old Testament is doing this. Oh, we know that he shows his wrath to punish wrong and evil. But I think under the new covenant, something has changed. But let me just share some Old Testament scripture. Nahum 1:3. The Lord is slow to anger and great in power. The Lord will not leave the guilty unpunished. Means he's going to wait till the last minute. I will discipline you, but only with justice. I will not let you go entirely unpunished. Jeremiah 30:11. So we know that his wrath is very specific. It's never mysterious. It's never irrational. It's never malicious, spiteful, vindictive, or any of those things. Actually, it's very predictable. It's aroused by injustice, by law-breaking, and reprobate evil. Paul warns about this. He warns the church about that kind of wrath. Romans 4:15 says that the law brings wrath. That's why I encourage them to avoid the wrath to come, a future wrath. For in the gospel, a righteousness from God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith, just as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. I believe that those of us under the new covenant are free from God's wrath. We're not appointed to wrath. We won't be here when his wrath reappears on the earth. Paul tells us that in Romans 5:9, since we have been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? Paul is trying to get across both Jew and Gentile, anyone who has come into a covenant relationship with the Father through his Son. They walk in a new spirit, in a new covenant that's been ratified and paid for with blood. So the spirit-filled, blood-washed church, from an eschatological context, is not destined for the wrath of God that will fall upon the world after the church is gone. That wrath is because of presumptuous sin, law-breaking, lawlessness, evil. But anyone under his protection will not. Something else I believe, and I shared this with somebody the other day, and he got right on it, picked it up right away. After the upper room, all the authority in heaven and earth was given to the church. We are the dispensers of his correction on the earth through the Holy Spirit. And we do it by the gospel, by being spirit-filled. We know that the Spirit brings conviction. If he's slow to anger and he's filled with grace, he's holding back, he's holding back, he's holding back. But he's also not interfering with what the enemy is doing. If you've listened to me for a while, you know I've said this before. Just as it was in the days of Noah, mankind chose the fallen angels over Almighty God. And so Almighty God backed off and let them have what they wanted. I believe we're beginning to see a preview of what it's going to be like when that happens. So getting back to the thief that comes to kill, steal, and destroy. Here's what I believe. I believe the enemy feeds off of fear and death. It's an energy. It actually gives off a tangible electromagnetic energy. And the enemy feeds off of it. And we need to stop seeing things through religious eyes and see them through spiritual eyes. We also need to see that the Lord can open a heart and mind during one of these events with someone whom he's pursuing. You're going to hear a lot of people talk about prayer and God and all the things that you would not expect them to talk about because of the lifestyles that they live. I used to pray to God. I was almost completely possessed, but I still knew who to pray to. And I know he didn't honor my actions, but I think he looked at my heart at those moments. And he offered me grace where grace was needed. So to close out this particular Overwatch examination of the fires, I want to suggest something. How about we pray first? Don't judge. Let God confirm. Let God judge. A lot of people are hurting right now. They've lost everything. Some have lost pets. Some have lost. One person said, I have my family. I have everything. But there was one priceless possession I can never get back. And I don't know what it was. He didn't say what it was. But the point is this. As long as you have your eyes, your ears, your heart's beating, you have life, you have hope. And we need to keep that hope. And we need to offer other people hope. So as California burns physically, America is burning politically and spiritually. Now I'm going to share with you an interesting thing that happened the very day before the California fires started in that exact same area, which I believe reinforces who I think's behind the fire. And that's the Thousand Oaks, California shooting. 24 hours, actually not even 24 hours before, about 12 hours. No, let me get out my imaginary clock in my head. Actually, it was about 6 hours. Wow. 6 hours before the fire started, a gunman entered the Borderline Bar and Grill, Country Western Bar, in Thousand Oaks, California, at 11:20 p.m. He threw two smoke bombs into the bar, entered with a legally purchased 45 caliber Glock 21 with an extended magazine, which are illegal in California, and began firing. He fired approximately 30 rounds into the packed room. 13 people, including one police officer, died. The shooter himself has been confirmed to die from a self-inflicted gunshot wound. 21 were injured, many while trying to escape. The lone gunman was identified as United States Marine veteran David Long, 28 years old, out of Newberry Park, California. Now, I'm seeing the thing PTSD, PTSD, but there has been no official designation that he had PTSD. That's what a neighbor has said. That's what news people are saying. That's what commentators are saying. But there's no official diagnosis of that. Matter of fact, one neighbor said he was odd as far back as high school. His high school yearbook listed, when they said, "What are your goals for the future?" his scribbled handwriting said, "Death." Supposedly, he made several Instagram posts during the shooting explaining why he was doing it. And I say supposedly because I'm having a hard time believing that in the midst of the carnage and the chaos and the smoke and people running and him shooting, he had time to make social media posts. Well, let's say he did. They don't explain anything. Law enforcement sources told media that the gunman walked into the bar, shot at a group of security guards and employees standing by the entrance, paused to text or post a message on social media. Then he began shooting at the victims on the dance floor. And then opened fire, shot the sheriff deputy that was running in, and then killed himself. And just before he did that at 11:24 p.m., he posted another post on Instagram. "I am having a hard time with the logistics of this. I'm not saying it's not true. I'm just saying that it overloads my logic circuits to believe that he did that." But anyway, this is what he posted at 11:24. It's too bad I won't get to see all the illogical and pathetic reasons people put into my mouth as to why I did it. Fact is, I had no reason to do it, and I just thought, F it, life is so boring, why not? And then 3 minutes later, he posted, I hope people call me insane, posting two smiley face emojis. Wouldn't that just be a ball of irony? Yeah, I'm insane, but the only thing people do after these shootings is hopes and prayers and keep you in my thoughts every time, and I wonder why these keep happening. Two more smiley faces. That post right there concerned me. Even one of the friends, when a reporter read them to him, said, that does not sound like Ian to me at all. I don't know what was going through his head when he wrote this, but it must have been terrible. Well, let's put on our tinfoil hats and get conspiratorial. What if that wasn't him posting? Nobody officially identified him as the shooter. They're doing it from his body, having been there. All the people in the bar could say that with the smoke and the chaos, they saw a man dressed in black wearing sunglasses come in and start shooting. What do we know about David Ian Long? He was in the Marine Corps from August 2008 to March 2013. But he'd had several previous problems with law enforcement, even as recently as April, when officers were called to a disturbance at his home. They declared that he seemed irate, he acted a little irrational, but mental health specialists talked to him, and they didn't feel he qualified to be detained under the state's 5150 mental health detention law. I'd say those people failed their job. One of Long's neighbors, Tom Hansen, spoke to KABC, said he was the one who called the police in April. Said, I don't know exactly what he was doing. It was like he was banging on the walls and shouting. It concerned me, so I called the police. This is a young man that had various interactions with the police over the last couple of years. He needed help. He needed to be watched. No help came. Another neighbor named Richard Birge said everyone on the block was aware when the police came to the Long home after that incident. See, he had barricaded himself in his mother's home with whom he was living, and it took a negotiator to get him to come out and talk to law enforcement. That should have Baker acted him right there. He should have been put on a watch list. If he had any weapons, which he did, they should have been taken away. I understand the issue of gun confiscation is a very controversial one, and I agree. There are moments that it angers me. But in a situation like this and Nicholas Cruz in South Florida, neither of those people should have been in possession of any weapons. But they were. And it is either, to me, gross negligence or something else more nefarious and darker. Why would they let these people keep their weapons? Well, there were 200 people in the bar that night. What's amazing is some of them were survivors of the Route 91 Harvest Festival shooting in Las Vegas in September 2017. In fact, one of the victims that died was a survivor from the Las Vegas shooting. What are the odds on that? What are the odds that this young man would happen to pick the Country Western Bar in Thousand Oaks, California, that the youth and the college kids went to? Matter of fact, a couple of the victims were local church group members, and they were there for, I don't know if they were dancing or partying or having dinner. I don't know what they were doing. Didn't say. They're dead. So tell me again who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And then within 6 hours, that fire starts that I started the show with. What are the odds of that? That in the same exact area, who feeds off of the carnage? Who feeds off of the spilled blood? Who feeds off of the fear and the chaos and everything that happened in the bar and happens in the fire? There's only one group of spiritual beings that feed off of that. That's Satan, his angels, and the demonic offspring of the Watchers in Genesis 6. Well, of course, this inspired many people to cry out for gun control. Enough is enough. I don't want to hear your prayers. I just don't want any more guns. Well, here's the problem with that. The California gun laws are a model for every gun control group in America. What they're really inferring is a ban or a confiscation. I don't think that's possible without bloodshed, and I hope it doesn't ever come to that. So as I looked at this, I decided, you know what? We have that shooting, we have the fires, and then we have the election mess in Arizona, Georgia, Florida, and now California. Before I came on the air, apparently in California they're flipping elections too. More anger, more frustration, more emotion. I'm sorry, this is so obvious to me who's behind all of this. And it's obvious to me that anyone who understands this needs to get on their knees, find their prayer place, get out their prayer shawl, whatever it takes, and we need to deal with this. We need to start pushing back. But let's just talk about it. We had our midterm elections on Tuesday, November 6th. You notice I'm backing up in time. The fire, the shooting, now the election. Starting from Tuesday on, everything's gone haywire. The election ended. But guess what? They're still counting votes. They're still finding votes. They're still finding boxes full of votes going, oops, look what I found here. Hey, we have a truckload of boxes just outside. They came in on time. We have to count them. And isn't it odd? They're 100% from one party. Nope, nothing odd about that. This is normal everyday elections. No, it's not. All of these new votes that are coming in are for a Democratic candidate. That is statistically impossible to be an accident. But if you go to the media, you go to the search engines, which I did looking for research, and you type in election fraud 2018, do you know what you'll get? You'll get link after link after link that there is no fraud. The people are being paranoid. Conspiracy theory. Tinfoil hats. This is just wanting to count every vote, whether they're legal or voting rights, registered citizens or not. But then you read eyewitness accounts and common sense tells you that something is going on. The Broward County election supervisor admits, her name is Brenda Snipes, she said, oops, and in the Miami Herald even made fun of the fact that, oops, yes, I made a mistake. I put rejected ballots in with the nearly 200 valid ones. Is this kindergarten or elementary school? Oops, I didn't mean to do it. I didn't do it on purpose. It just happened. Well, that mistake, from which there is no solution, was only discovered after Snipes presented 205 provisional ballots that the Broward County Canvassing Board had withheld for inspection. She wasn't going to tell anybody, but she was forced to by Republican attorneys. But Brenda Snipes is no stranger to any of this. And what I find interesting about the articles on Broward County Elections Supervisor Brenda Snipes is that even the liberal newspapers are taking pot shots at her. According to the National Review, which I know is not liberal, that just kind of segued into that. Snipes got her position in 2003, and she was put there by Jeb Bush when her predecessor, Miriam Oliphant, was suspended for, quote, grave neglect, mismanagement, and incompetence, and quite literally marched out of her office. So as not to think that it was racial or about gender, Jeb Bush appointed another black woman to the position, Brenda Snipes, and she's done no better. On Friday night, a court in Broward County found her guilty of violating both Florida's public election laws and the state's constitution by failing to provide mandatory updates to the public, and it ordered the immediate release of missing information, to which she did nothing. She has defied the ruling. She has kept inspectors and conservative watchdog groups and even Republican political leaders out. But she did meet privately with Democratic candidate Gillum. According to the Miami Herald, an election worker found bags of, quote, uncounted early ballots in the Broward County office, ballots whose provenance could not be established. Snipes, meanwhile, was busy mixing together rejected provisional ballots and accepted provisional ballots by processing them all together. Oh, and she justified her decision to accept them based upon the grounds that it would be better to include some illegal votes than to nix the legal ones, which by own incompetence had been blended. Huh? What? Well, it's better to let all the poison get into the drink so we don't waste the good part of the drink. But that's not out of character for her. She has been reprimanded by the courts twice, once in May for illegally destroying ballots in a race that involved Wasserman Schultz, and then during the Democratic primaries, she broke state and federal laws then, and then in August, she illegally opened mail-in ballots. She's been there for 15 years. Long lines, inaccurate vote counts, marred elections, 2002, 2004, 2006, 2012, 2016, and now 2018. A woman, I think her name is Christine Headley Smith. Hold on, let me open this up here. I didn't even get a quote. Chelsea Marie Smith. So I should have had that in my notes. 18-year-old worker, temp worker, was working in the Broward County Supervisor of Elections main office, Lauderhill, Florida, signed an affidavit stating that she saw people in the office with the official black pen filling in blank ballots. Well, they explained that away, that they were filling in the ballots that had been faxed in. I'm really having a trouble with the explanation, but another election supervisor said, nope, no fraud here. Look the other way. Pay no attention to that man behind the curtain. He didn't say that part. I made that up. What are we doing, folks? She broke the law. She destroyed ballots. After 12 months instead of 22 months, so that when they were questioned, they were not available. She destroyed ballots in the Wasserman Schultz race. Amendments were left off the ballots. She violated election law by posting information before the polls closed. In 2012, almost 1,000 uncounted ballots were discovered a week after the election. 2004, 58,000 mail-in ballots were not delivered to voters, leaving election officials scrambling to send new ones. And now this. Rick Scott's not taking and lying down. He's filing lawsuits. He's gonna fight this. So, of course, they're blaming him for fighting it. Bill Nelson and Andrew Gillum have filed a lawsuit. They want even the illegal non-resident votes to count. You know what this reminds me of? There was a movie in the 70s, I think it was, called The Gang That Couldn't Shoot Straight. It was a comedy about bumbling mafiosos that couldn't shoot straight, couldn't get the job done. I mean, it was a farce. Well, here we have the gang that couldn't commit fraud straight. This is probably one of the most ridiculous things I have ever seen, and it's dragging on, and more states are doing it. And as I watch this, if this is not corrected, if the races which are over and the people who won, who happen to be Republicans, are allowed to be defeated by votes that came in late to allow Democrats to win, then what does that say about our election process? To me, it doesn't say a whole heck of a lot. Except this. If they're going to do this during the midterms, what are they going to do in 2020 during the presidential election? Folks, we have a preview of the apocalypse in California's flames, in the violence, and in politics. Something's coming. Something's getting ready to happen. I can feel it. I've shared it on the porch. I'm up at night. I'm praying most nights. I get some sleep during the day. I don't think the fire is over. I don't think this political mess is over by a long shot. I believe America is torn. I've said this before. I believe the rip is irreparable. We're just stalling for time. There are other things I was going to talk about: Antifa, the migrant caravan, earthquakes, the Ebola outbreak in Africa, which is tremendous, pestilences, earthquakes, volcanoes, violence. I may record another show to do that. I wanted to stay on task with this, and I wanted for us to get to the place that we understand, as uncomfortable as it is, as messy as it is, resistance is not futile, but it's also not without problems. We're going to be criticized. We're going to be marginalized. We're going to be isolated. We're going to be attacked verbally and apparently now physically, if you saw what happened to Tucker Carlson and his family when Antifa showed up at his front door in Washington. Apparently, if you believe in the red, white, and blue America, what it stands for, what the founding fathers thought about it, if you have a Judeo-Christian mindset, you're being targeted. Well, sooner or later, we have to dig our heels in. I'm not promoting violence. No, absolutely not. First thing we need to do is get on our knees. We need to fight this spiritually. We need to pray for people. But there will come a point where we're going to have to stand up and defend ourselves and our families. In our zeal to fight back, we must never become what we are resisting in the first place. We must remember who we are. We must remember who he is. We must see people through his eyes and be able to hear the Lord as to what to do at that moment. The Spirit will tell you. He'll tell you to move. He'll tell you to run. He'll tell you where to go. He might even tell you to defend yourself if you don't have time for any of those other things. He may send an angel. He may not. I don't know. I've been in all those situations. I just pray that you're prayed up and aware enough and alert enough to hear him. some of the people I know out in California that are in the midst of these evacuations, who've had to take their animals and may or may not come back to their possessions. They're not experienced in this kind of spiritual warfare. If you're not listening to the porch and you're not getting fed somewhere, folks, you got to. I get it. You're on social media. You're on Twitter. You're on Facebook. You're reading all of the commentators and all of the investigators and all of the reporters. And I got to be honest with you. As I went through it today to gather evidence, there's a lot of cuckoos out there. There's a lot of people that don't have a lot of lights on upstairs. Be careful. Be careful. If you want to support what we do, if you want to hear more shows like this, if you want me to do more special edition shows, let me know. Go to firefalltalkradio.com. Tell me. If there's something you'd like me to cover, I'll consider it. But like I said, I'm not doing this every week anymore, but I will do them as I feel led to do them. There's a darkness rolling in. The storm clouds are already here. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? We started out with Matthew 24. I'm going to wrap it up with that. But I appreciate you. I appreciate you listening. I stumbled, distracted by my dog, Mac, who's agitated by something, probably the fact that I'm not in there. And I appreciate you. If you want to support what we do, go to firefalltalkradio.com. You can do that. God bless.
Now, as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, "Tell us when these things will be, and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age." And Yeshua answered and said to them, "Take heed that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Messiah,' and will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of the sorrows. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations. And then the end will come."
Network.
Advancements in the medical field are giving nurses faster, more effective results than ever before. They should expect the same from their education, too. Capella University's game-changing FlexPath format allows you to set your own deadlines and leverage your experience to move faster through your program. So the faster you move, the more money you save. When you're ready, we'll be here. Visit capella.edu for a trial course at no cost to you. Capella University. Don't just learn, learn smarter.
This weekend at Kohl's, take an extra 15% off. Save on men's and women's denim. Get Under Armour shoes for the family, $59.99 and under. And pick up a Power XL air fryer, just $84.99. Plus, take an extra $10 off your back-to-school purchase of $50 or more. Plus, store drive-up. And get a little more for your wallet with Kohl's Cash. Shop Kohl's and Kohl's.com.
Select styles, 15% off with promo code NOTEBOOK ends August 16th. Under Armour offers and coupons do not apply. 10 off 50 with promo code BTS10 ends August 23rd. Some exclusions apply. See store or Kohl's.com for details.